I just spent 4 days in a non-flushing toilet location, just so that you know.
I heard.
Oh, you heard how terrible that was.
Yeah.
And I was not well to boot.
It's tough.
The only thing missing from that experience to make it a trifecta of disaster would have been our next guest. Uncle Jack Summers, General Manager at Radio World. Good morning, Jack. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Angelo and Stephen. I just wanted to thank you both for the buffer, and it was fantastic. And I'm certainly happy I didn't have to follow the meat theory, because you can never shut that guy up.
That's where we're running late.
That's right. That's right. You were not at the store, by the sounds of it. Where exactly are you?
I am about 20 feet from the north shore of the Bay of Quinte.
Ah.
Sitting on my deck. I was out in the boat earlier this morning. I woke up bright and early. I put several racks of ribs on the smoker and went out for a few hours for a morning fish, and decided to come back inside and take my ribs off the smoker, put my feet up, and talk to you goons.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Now I'm going to put you on hold for just a quick moment so I can make some money and sell some product. And then you can give us a full report on the Bay of Quinte fishery. I want to talk to you about that as well. I ran into something up north that you'll be interested in, and has to do with detection. So sit tight, my friend. More journal after this on Shadair Go Away. Good morning, everybody.
More about a guest you heard on the radio.
Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishin' Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishin' Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes.
Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio.
And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis on the board, our good friend Uncle Jack Summers from Radio World on the line. So how long have you been at the trailer, Jack?
I came up on Thursday night after a few hours at the office, maybe Thursday afternoon, and just been hanging out ever since. It's been a very nice few days here. Little bit of wind from the north, and the bugs are low, and the fish are hot, and can't complain.
Talk to me about the fishing on the bay.
Well, the fishing on the bay is always incredible. It just depends on what's going on. Right now, it seems that the shad are running, so the walleye are a little bit scarce. They're feeding on the big schools, and it's kind of hit and miss in time of day and location. I think you tend to have to go deeper into the Big Bay area right now because they're coming in from the lake. And the traditional reach is pretty bogged in. But the bass fishing's on fire. Big fish, lots of big fish here and there and everywhere. And, there's some great opportunities at Garpite in the bay. And I watched a pike jump at a topwater bait I was throwing yesterday morning, Cavatron, and the side profile on that fish must have been 10 inches thick. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It was startling. Actually, it startled me. It was so, the side profile was so big, it startled me.
That's massive. I got to come down there and do some gar fishing for sure. Have you tried going after those things, by the way?
Absolutely. They're not hard to catch at all. You just got to throw a crankbait at its nose, and it'll snap at it. And, you can handle it gingerly and take a picture and put it back to swim another day.
Cool. All right. I got to tell you, I was halfway up to the north, and we pulled into, I think it was the gas up or fuel up, and I saw this poster on the pole that was next to the pumps, and it talked about geocaching. And now this morning we had somebody on the phone with us in a federal park, a Canadian park, that they're doing geocaching. This has got to be big now, huh?
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Geocaching is huge, and it has been for the better part of 10 or 15 years, and it's basically a hobby where people use GPSs and do treasure hunting. And, you know, there's always people are looking for reasons and things to do outdoors. And it's a great activity for people that like to hike and hunt and make it a little bit more fun. So if you actually go to our website called geocaching.com, you will find hundreds of thousands of caches, which are the little prizes that, that people hide, located in every city around the world. And wow. Literally, I mean, every city around the world. Being here in the middle of nowhere, Napanee, Ontario, I would bet that there are 100 caches in this area alone, if not more. And the whole idea is there are degrees of difficulty with it. People that enjoy the hobby go out and they hide a few things at a place. They go and post it on the website and give clues to whereabouts it is with latitude and longitude. People with GPSs will go and they have a good idea, maybe within a 10 or 20 square foot area if they are proficient with a GPS. And then they have to look and find it. And it could be in a hollow of a tree or under a rock or in some cases, there's a park in Western Ontario. It's a very high difficulty level of 5 or 10 or whatever the highest is, where you have to have scuba gear and go down to a sunken boat and find it. So,
wow.
So it's very, very cool, very neat, and it's a put and take. So if you're taking something from the site, you put it back so there's something there for the person for the next time. And usually there's a little signifier where you go back to the site and say, hey, I found this on this date and so on and so forth. And I'm from, you know, British Columbia. I'm from, you know, Osaka, Japan or Toronto or whatever the case may be. So it's a whole check-in system. Very organized, a very, very cool hobby.
Wow.
I did it when I was a kid. And we went, it's up north. We have a place up north in Wilberforce, since apparently the geocaching capital of Canada.
Wow.
And I was going, looking around, and one of the clues was number 2. And it was on a piece of property, and I saw the house number is 12, so I took number 2 and it was wiggly, so I took it out and there's the prize inside and you change something. It's a really cool
thing.
Look at cool
you,
thing.
Hey? Look
yeah.
at you. That is,
and, you know, thanks for sharing that, Stephen, because you actually clarified 2 points. Number 2, I said about 10 or 15 years ago and you said when you were a kid, so that kind of lines up.
Yeah.
And then the number 2 actually brings me back to the comment that Angelo made about people really don't realize how difficult it is for him to survive in a situation that doesn't have flush toilets, which I have know firsthand. So I can imagine coming out of that place, you were like plugged up like the 401 on a Friday night.
Oh, buddy, it was worse than the 401. It was a 401 and a 400 on a Friday night. I made it, though. I survived it. I got out. I got out unscathed, as they say.
There's a reason that your lobsters burn.
Oh, good God, help us all. Now, do any of these caches require that you have metal detecting products in your hand, or is this all just on the surface, aside from diving?
You know, not that I'm aware of, because that would be a very specialized thing, but as is diving, but I don't know. Having said that, we're actually just putting together a program where we're going to have another metal detecting event. I had one, you know, last weekend at the Woodbine yep. Beach Park. It was fantastic, 150 attendees. But I'm hosting
nice.
One on September 21st, somewhere in southern Ontario, place yet to be announced. And I'm going to run a contest 10 weeks forward of that where I'm going to be hiding special medallions in different parts of the province and giving clues for people to go out and find. And those tokens will actually give them free entrance to the event. It will give them a chance at a grand prize. So winning one of 20 amazing gifts or a chance to win a metal detector itself. So we're going to stay tuned for that and announce that a little bit later on.
Nice.
You know, certainly on the Radio World event website or the Radio
nice.
World Facebook page.
Nice. Look at you, eh? Good
Lord. I gave away about $10,000 in treasures last weekend at Woodbine Beach Park.
No kidding.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
all of a sudden, you're a benevolent organization giving away stuff like that. Look at you. I love it.
There's no song and dance with me, Angelo. We just give it away, buddy.
Are we going to see you tomorrow?
You certainly are. I'm going to be there with bells on.
All right. Tell folks what we're doing.
Well, we're going to be spending a day at the golf course, raising money for the Kelly Shires Breast Cancer Foundation. And that is something that we have grown near and dear to, both of us. It's one of our one of the weekends we look forward to. So we will be certainly partaking in liquid libation, and we might even hit a golf ball or two. And hopefully we'll be raising lots and lots of money for people that need it the most.
Are we going to be in full garb, or are we toning it down?
I said with bells on, didn't I?
There you go, the clue. All right, my friend, I look forward to spending a day with you tomorrow, buddy. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, and have a great day. See you tomorrow.
All right, Jack Summers, general manager at Radio World. Him and I are going to be pounding some turf tomorrow. It's an awful, it's ugly. What we do on a golf course can only be described as ugly. But we have the best time in the world, I'll tell you. We just have a great time. The other golfers don't like us at all. Eh?
Well, yeah, because you're chipping up the floor.
Oh, we're disrupting the whole flow of the game. They just hate us. But the more they hate us, the more fun it is.
Exactly.